What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, September 11th, 2018, the 17th anniversary of that tragic day in New York and down at the Pentagon and out in Shanksville. And we're going to be spending much of the first hour of our show talking about that as well. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And Mike is in our control room, ready to put you on the air with your comments and questions. So let's get in to 9/11. Obviously, that was the catalyzing event to launch this campaign of war across the globe under the label of the War on Terror, which really was a war of conquest against countries that were struggling to break free from U.S. hegemonic domination. And the more wars against terror the U.S. seemed to fight, the more terrorists there seemed to be. It was counterproductive. So, looks like we already got a caller on the line. So let's grab Francis in Montreal. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I'm glad to see you're already talking about this drumbeats of war that are sounding. And I see that Russia Today and the Russian Ministry of Defense are reporting already that the filming of the fake gas attack is underway, and that the forces of international Zionism intend to start passing it out to global news sources by the end of today to mm-hmm. get this crisis going. And with this crisis in the Idlib province, of course, you know, there's about 200 U.S. special forces and British special forces that are in there. And the yes. British don't want to negotiate to get out, but the Americans do. So it's a diplomatic impasse that can easily be solved, but certain people don't want to solve it. And I just want to, in light of that, I'll make it short. I just want to remind you and all your viewers of a news report from 2016. And at first it was dubious because it just came from the Syrian Free Press, but I got it from the Times of Israel as well. And in September of 2016, I was listening to the news, and all of a sudden, all the Pentagon generals were just screaming for war with Russia. And I thought, that's odd. Like, what do they want a war with Russia for? Well, what the Russians did was they brought in two frigates and fired off some, I think they were Sabre cruise missiles. And they'd been listening with their high-tech equipment to communications near Aleppo, and they zeroed mm-hmm. in on a ISIS command post. So they hit the ISIS command post with a bunch of cruise missiles and killed everybody inside. Who was inside? IDF officers, U.S. Special Forces, British MI6 officers, Turkish officers, Saudi Qatar officers. They wiped them out. And they all freaked out. This is when the real, you know, the war thing started going, because obviously these guys are the ones, you know, feeding the weapons in through Libya to Al-Qaeda yes. and ISIS. It's just outrageous. Like, they're just lying right in our faces, and the only option they've got now is to try to shut down all the media through censorship.
They're already doing that. YouTube has shut down all of Syria's state-run channels, and I imagine they're going to be trying to jam the independent media as well. But you're right. This is their last card to play, is another gas attack. And let's see. I need to do something here. Anyway, listen, Francis, thanks a lot for the phone call. And before I take any more phone calls, I do want to make a mention about what's happening over in the Carolinas right now. Hurricane Florence is now predicted to intensify to a near Category 5 strength. As you know, yesterday, the governor of South Carolina ordered the evacuation of the entire coastline. Now, North Carolina is starting to issue warnings for their coastal areas and also inland. This is going to be a really nasty storm. So if you're in the path of the storm, please take the appropriate actions. Out here on Oahu, it's looking like Olivia is being torn apart by wind shear, so we're not going to have the issues that they were concerned we might have. We'll see. Time will solve that mystery here. All right, we're going to take one more phone call, and then we're going to basically talk about 9/11 and get through that. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, people in North and South Carolina better get their SHIT together because have your crap ready. Because, you know, I'm in New Jersey. We had Sandy, and I know what not having power for 15 days is all about. It's hard.
Yes.
You know, 15 days don't sound like a lot, but it's hard. Believe it or not.
It's a very long time then when you don't have your distractions like TV and radio and internet and everything, and you're just sitting there in your home listening to the wind and the rain outside. It can be a very, very long time, especially if you run out of water or toilet paper.
And heat, because it was cold. I didn't have no heat,
yes.
So it was cold. Mike, this previous caller called. Yeah, that was the Russians using caliber cruise missiles attacked that bunker with Saudi Turkish intelligence officers in that bunker, which was advising
and IDF
terrorists.
And Israelis.
And and like Mike, we're in a dangerous part right now because this is the biggest last stronghold. I just want to make people we're in a serious situation because Putin's not backing down now because when he was with the Turkish Erdogan and Iranian president, he says, you know, this is it, basically.
This is the end of the Syrian war. Idlib is the last stronghold of the U.S.-backed rebels. And you know what's really kind of ironic, this being 9/11? When 9/11 happened, it was all blamed on Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. And now we see the United States literally working to protect Al-Qaeda in Idlib. And so that's got to have a lot of people just scratching their heads and wondering, what the heck is going on here?
Not only that, Mike, the British and the Mike, this goes back a longer way before 9/11. This goes back a long way, Mike. Like, we have aligned ourselves with Saudi Arabia, Israel, all these other jihadi groups in Saudi Arabia and the Wahhabists for a long time.
Yes.
You know? And, like, this is dangerous, Mike. I mean, yeah, 9/11 today, everybody's ringing a bell, ringing the names, but it's amazing. No media mentioned, like, anything about Saudi Arabia? Like, Saudi Arabia was not in. Saudi Arabian government might have not been involved, but elements of it, along with our government and Israel, was involved in it.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't blame the whole government for a small group of people. You know? But, Mike, this Russia.
Well, I would have to back up here and say that I can't imagine Saudi Arabia agreeing to help with an operation like this without the authorization coming down from the throne itself.
Exactly. But, Mike, do you see right now there's a fighting going on between the son and the father? Like, right
yes.
now, like in Saudi. So you have a split. You know, and this is what's been going on for a long time. You got splits, and then, you know, they got to cater to the Wahhabists because the Wahhabists are a very influential group in Saudi Arabia. So, and by the way, there's never going to be no Saudi Arabian super city, you know, with women dressed in short dresses in Saudi. It's not going to happen. Come on, you know. I mean, that's another story. But, Mike, I'm telling you, this, what's going on in Syria, we're at a pivotal point because the Russians aren't going to back down. And I wouldn't.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think Trump's advisors have convinced them that Putin will back down and not go into Idlib. But that's ridiculous. Meanwhile, the U.S. is pouring more arms and supplies in there. We'll talk about Syria a little bit, but thank you for the phone call, Dustin. We're going to let you go. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network, and I'm not going to take any more phone calls until we get through talking about 9/11. And 9/11 was one of those moments where you always remember where you were when you heard it. If you're my age, you remember exactly where you were standing when you found out John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. And I remember the morning of 9/11 very clearly. I was awakened by a phone call from a coworker who said, "You'd better turn on your TV right now." And I went on out into the living room. I turned on the TV just in time to see the second plane crash into the tower. And basically, right there, I said, this is a con job. Pardon me for being cynical, but this is a con job. So already we're seeing the independent media being flooded with all of the kookifiers. These are the paid professional propaganda shills who are out there trying to make anybody who questions the official 9/11 story look silly. And they're out there with their theories about directed energy weapons and micro nukes. And of course, the perennial there that there was no plane at the Pentagon. And they're all out there saying the same thing. Trying to kookify the issue. And but there are a lot of questions that should be answered and are not answered. How was it the BBC, not to mention Fox and CNN, announced the collapse of World Trade Center 7 26 minutes before it actually happened? BBC's only response to, you know, how did you know, is, well, it was a lot of chaos and confusion. Nobody could have known Building 7 was going to come down ahead of time unless they had their finger on the demolition switch, unless they got Miss Nikki from the UN and her crystal ball to forecast it. So you remember Donald Trump on the day 9/11 happened? This is before he was running for president. He was interviewed as a property developer in New York. And he said on camera that he thought there had to be bombs inside the buildings, that they were built to survive an aircraft impact. And they were. Ever since the B-25 hit the Empire State Building, New York high-rises are designed to sustain an aircraft strike. Now, Lower Manhattan is a no-fly zone to prevent that sort of thing from happening, but they are designed to survive that kind of an impact here. And Trump, when he was being interviewed on WWOR, gave his opinion as a property developer, there had to be bombs. So, all righty. We all know that there are strong indications of controlled demolitions in all of the buildings. We have the very obvious video of World Trade Center 7 collapsing down into its own footprint, which can only happen if every single load-bearing member fails in the exact same split second. That never happens from a fire. And by the way, it's worth remembering that prior to 9/11 and ever since, no steel-framed building has collapsed just from a fire. Out in Los Angeles, the first Interstate Bank building burned right down to the frame and remained standing. Okay, let's see. All right. My computer's nagging me about things here. We know that photographs of the ruins of the World Trade Towers, and there's one that I use in my articles all the time about one of the firefighters. This is before the cleanup began. One of the firefighters standing there, you know, in the aftermath, in the wreckage of the towers, and behind him you can see load-bearing beams cut at an angle. And that is a normal demolition method where you will go in and you will put your cutter charges to cut the load-bearing beams at a slant so the top part of the building will walk slightly to one side and then it starts coming down unimpeded by the load-bearing members. So we had those photos as well. Then we have the strange behavior of the Secret Service down at Booker Elementary School. Now, George Bush was down there at Booker Elementary School. He was visiting a classroom. They were reading about pet goats. White House aide Andy Carter walks on in and informs Bush there's been a second plane that crashed into the second tower. And at this point, according to statements made by the government, everybody knows this is a terror attack. So what does the Secret Service protective detail do? Absolutely nothing. And when I wrote the article about this, I made a reference to a Sherlock Holmes novel called The Silver Blaze, in which Sherlock Holmes deduces that the owner of the house was the criminal, because when the crime was being committed at night, the dog did not bark. And exactly the same thing happened here. if this was truly a foreign-spawned terror attack. I mean, look at it from the tactical point of view. You've got airplanes flying all over the country, crashing into buildings. Nobody knows how many of these airplanes are being used for terror weapons, because don't forget, there was an ongoing exercise at the same time, simulating the hijacking of passenger jets and using them to crash into buildings. So in theory, nobody could know what if there was an airplane headed for that school. There was an airport only 4 miles away. Now, if you go back and you look at the video of when Reagan, there was the attempt on his life and how quick the Secret Service Protective Detail moved. Their only concern is the president's safety. They're not concerned about shocking the school kids. They're not worried about upsetting anybody else. Their job is to protect the president. If it had been a real terror attack from a foreign sponsor, they would have grabbed Bush, dragged him out of that classroom, thrown him in that armored limousine, and started driving in a random direction to foil a potential inbound. But they did not do that. From the Secret Service in action, it's obvious they knew for a fact George Bush was not a target that day. And the only way they could know that for a fact is they knew what the targets were going to be. The Secret Service did nothing. The dog did not bark. The Bush administration was part of the 9/11 operation. Then we have the dancing Israelis. And this is a very interesting story, and it began with these Israelis in a white van, which was marked for urban moving systems. It was just parked in a parking lot of an apartment building, and it caught the notice of this woman who wondered why they were just standing there with a camera on a tripod. And this was before the first plane hit the tower. So they were there before it all went down. And as soon as the plane started hitting the tower, they start dancing around and high-fiving and cheering and just having a fine old time. And at that point, the woman called the police. And the police arrested these Israelis. The two of them turned out to be Mossad agents. The Israelis were out there saying, no, 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 we're not your problem. The Palestinians are your problem. And the police brought in some bomb detection dogs, and the dogs alerted to the van, and that was basically it. They were held for about a month, 2 months, and allowed to go back to Israel, where they were treated like stars. They were interviewed on TV and saying our job there was to document the event. And shortly after they left, Urban Moving Systems just shut down, and its owner fled to Israel. In fact, it shut down so quickly, people who were availing themselves of storage lockers couldn't get their stuff. The city government had to come on in with bolt cutters and open up those storage lockers so people could get their stuff out there. Do you remember where George Bush actually claimed he'd seen the first plane hit the first tower? How could he do that? There was no live camera on the first tower. There was no reason for there to be one. The only known official footage of that first impact was shot by the No Day brothers, who caught it inadvertently as part of their documentary on New York firefighters. And it was like later in the day, much later in the day, before it was being broadcast on the corporate media. So the only way Bush could have seen that first impact, and he made the claim twice, was if there was some kind of a closed circuit feed. Now, getting on back to the dancing Israelis, the film, or rather the video that they shot that day remains classified. And I think the reason is pretty obvious, because if, in fact, it does show that first impact, it proves they knew in advance what was going to happen. Now, a lot of people can be forgiven for wondering why 17 years later it matters. Well, it matters because 9/11 was used by our government to transform our society. We traded our rights for security, and we wound up losing both of them. We're going to take a break for commercials. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, and we will be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And no, you're not all going deaf. There was a volume issue during that particular commercial break and intro. Getting on back to the beg for money, because Republic Broadcasting needs it, and so does whatreallyhappened.com. And I'd kind of like to change things a little bit today and acknowledge the fact that a lot of you have stepped forward to support Republic Broadcasting. And I want to acknowledge that and say, you know, we thank you. The network thanks you very much. For those of you who have not yet stepped up to support Republic Broadcasting and to keep independent media in this fight against a world war, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number to do a debit or credit card donation or to pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during normal business hours, extension 3 at all other times. Now, getting on back to 9/11, there's another aspect of the case that a lot of people have forgotten 17 years out, and that is the Israeli spy ring. And what happened is before 9/11 actually happened, there'd been a lot of weird things going on where DEA, every time they moved in to try and make a drug bust involving ecstasy, the drug dealers were alerted, and the police became concerned. Their communications were compromised, and the FBI finally investigated, and they stumbled across the largest foreign spy ring operating inside the United States ever, and it was being run by Israel. And the interception of the drug police data was part of it. Urban moving systems was a cover, because if you see a strange truck, you might get curious. But if it says moving company on the side, well, then you figure, oh, somebody's moving in or somebody's moving out. And it involved so-called art students that were trying to get into government offices. It was massive. And Carl Cameron did a four-part series on the Israeli spy ring that aired on Fox News shortly after 9/11. And what was really interesting in there, they were talking about these dancing Israelis who got arrested. And this government official said there is information linking these Israelis to 9/11, but it's classified. I can't talk about it because it's all classified information. So we have it from a U.S. government official, two pieces of information. One, these dancing Israelis were in fact linked to 9/11, and two, our own government was protecting them. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Daniel in British Columbia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, aloha, Michael. Obviously, I want to talk about the events of September 11th. I've been following it probably as far back as about 2004. I originally thought it was Al-Qaeda, like I was told from the media. But after watching WTC7 collapse in its own footprint and watching numerous YouTube videos, I started thinking for myself. I've got a kind of a background following JFK, and once you understand that the U.S. government lies all the time, it's not hard
yes.
to put two and two together. So there's a, you know, I think it's still important to talk about it, and I think it's relevant to what's going on today. I had contacted Dr. Judy Wood 2 days ago, and I challenged her to answer a couple of questions that I've wanted to ask her for about 10 years. And so I got to ask her if it's possible that if there was directed energy weapons being used, is it possible that they used cutter charges and thermite and explosions like William Rodriguez had accounted, the janitor? And
yes.
she immediately got a little bit uptight, and she didn't want to answer it. And I also asked, well, if this technology exists, why doesn't the U.S. military just render every other military on Earth obsolete, from Iran's tanks or their jet fighters or Russian jet fighters or aircraft carriers, you know, just to dustify the steel? And then at that point, she got a little belligerent, and I was cut off. But, you know, she was talking about crop circles. 10 minutes before, I mentioned
yeah.
the sub-basement, because she's like, oh, the material just disappeared. And I said, well, there's six sub-basements, and the pile was about two or three stories high, and they carted all the structural steel off to China. And she wouldn't answer that. I said the molten metal that the firefighters claimed was running like it was in a foundry, she ignores all that.
Yes.
I think
well, her job, you know, she's one of the people I was describing at the top of the show that are trying to make questioning 9/11 look kooky and silly. That's her job. And that, along with the no plane at the Pentagon people and various other things, the micro-nuke people. Anyway, got to let you go. We got to do another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Let's take a few more phone calls here. Tom in Indiana. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, aloha. I got ready to, I was going to send you a package, you know, from Indiana today. And what it is, I looked on the internet and Hawaii doesn't have any oak trees. And I got a big oak tree in front of my house and I picked up a whole bunch of acorns. And I thought if I sent them to you, you and Claire could go... you could plant those around Hawaii, and you could be the Johnny Appleseed of Hawaii. I thought that would be a great thing for
boy,
you to do.
Oh, boy, we'd be in trouble for that. I mean, Hawaii has very strict laws about importing any kind of non-native plants.
There's only three states in the Union that don't have oak trees, and Hawaii is one of them. Alaska is another, and I forgot what the other one is. But getting back to 9/11, I was, you know, I saw all the videos and stuff about what the plans were and all this stuff, but I watched George Bush today, you know, seeing, and he was clueless. That guy was, he was clueless. I think I would believe that the deep state set that up, and they gave him a script to read after it was all over, and said, here's a script you got to read. But I believe that guy was completely clueless as to what was going on.
I think maybe he wasn't running the op, but I think he was definitely read into it. We know that Dick Cheney was very much running the op from the Situation Room, because there was this other government official whose name escapes me at the moment. It has been 17 years. And they were tracking this plane coming into the Pentagon. And this official asked Dick Cheney, you know, are we going to do anything? And Cheney's response was basically, no, of course not. We're not going to do anything at all. Okay, so...
You remember Haig saying, I'm in charge now, when he took over for Nixon?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's part of that deep state mentality. What makes you think that Cheney wasn't all part of that? You know?
Well, Cheney, I think, definitely was a lot of the power behind George W. Bush. George W. Bush basically inherited the presidency from his father. They're trying to create a dynasty, just like the Clintons are trying to do, just like the Kennedys were trying to do. Anyway, listen, Tom, we got to let you go here. Please don't send the acorn seeds. And we're going to switch over now to David Joachim. David, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling on in. And David is the author of a book, 9/11 and the World Today, which touches on a comment I made before the last commercial break, that post 9/11, our nation has been transformed. And frankly, our government has done more damage to what America is supposed to stand for than the perpetrators of 9/11, whoever they turn out to be. So, David, thank you for spending time with us, and tell us a little bit about your book.
A pleasure to be here, Michael. I actually worked at 9/11 as a rescue worker, and I find that the Israeli, the criminal Jewish network that's outlined in 9/11missinglinks.com is basically responsible for that. And when you look at the deterioration of America's government, It all has to do with the influence that Israel, the ones that control the money, have over the government through AIPAC and other funding sources. So, you can't overemphasize the effect that Israel has, or the criminals in Israel, not all of Israel, but the criminal Jewish network, you know, which is commonly called the Zionists, right? I mean, going back,
you're right, and it may go beyond just the money here, because if you look at the relationship between Israel and the United States government before and after 9/11, you see a dramatic change, where after 9/11, no matter what Israel wants, they get it. There's no debate. There's no questioning it. And I think what happened is that after Israel and the U.S. government pulled off 9/11, Israel turned around and has been blackmailing our government with 9/11, saying, you give us everything that we want, or we'll tell the world what really happened on 9/11, and it'll hurt you more than it will hurt us.
Yeah, you can see it whenever someone brings it up to, like, even Fox News, right, Sean Hannity, every time anyone says anything bad about the Israelis or Israeli government, just totally defames the individual, right? Just denounces their existence, for Pete's sakes, right?
Yes, anti-Semite, Jew hate, Hitler, Nazi, all the buzzwords that are coming out there. And now, of course,
right,
we're seeing
the Hitler, the wrongful reporting of Hitler. If you look at Hitler, that video, The Greatest Story Never Told, Adolf Hitler, it's about a six-hour video. It's incredible. The amount of BS that was taught to us during history about Hitler.
Can we get back to 9/11 and specifically your book, because that's why you wanted to come on the show today. So tell us about your book and where you can get it.
It's on Amazon. It's called 9/11 in the World Today, and it discusses at the beginning it discusses one chapter of my experience at 9/11, and then it discusses similar topics to what you cover on your radio show, but it discusses, you know, the different facets of suppression that are organized and are used to oppress the entire world, and the mechanisms that are used to institute those suppression measures.
basically taking away our Bill of Rights, our right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. They're attacking the independent media because the government and the corporate media are realizing they're not able to control what Americans think anymore, and that is a major, major
Try to attack our right to even live, right, Michael? I mean, you know, through the foods, they're trying to kill us all off at an alarming rate. That's really
well, you know, there is that group of people who think there are way too many human beings here. Anyway, listen, David, once again, your book is called 9/11 and the World Today. It's available at Amazon.com. And thank you for calling in. But we're really jammed today, so we're going to let you go and switch over to Chris in Seattle. Aloha. Chris, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, good afternoon, Carl. I want to see what your view of George Sr. being involved with 9/11. We haven't heard him do an interview on 9/11, have we?
No, we haven't.
Yeah. He's not hiding in the wings. Does he have anything to hide, you think?
Well, he may well have had. I mean, he was a former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and I imagine that he kept a lot of those contacts. And when whoever it was who came up with this idea for this staged terror attack, and again, a lot of this goes back to the Project for the New American Century, which was this think tank, and they're still around. They've got a different name now. But in the 1990s, it was called the Project for the New American Century, and they had a policy paper, Rebuilding America's Defenses, which was basically a call for the remilitarization of the United States. And in that document, there was a comment saying that absent a catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor, this remilitarization could take 100 years. And so right there, they're saying, we've got to have a really big bang so the American people will go along with having all of their money spent on bombs and bullets and tanks and warplanes and so forth. And sure enough, they got one.
What do you think caused the buildings to go into pure disintegration, Mike, with, you know, no porcelain, no marble, just everything disintegrated to dust? What caused that to happen?
Well, with enough pressure and enough force, you know, anything will get pounded to dust, and that includes, materials used inside the building. Now, the frame was steel. The outside cladding was aluminum. The building was actually already in structural trouble because of galvanic corrosion, and it was facing this EPA-mandated renovation for all the asbestos that had been used in its construction. And that made everybody wonder why Larry Silverstein worked so hard to get that lease, because those EPA renovations had bankrupted a lot of the other buildings in Manhattan. But 9/11 happened. The building came on down. The asbestos was turned to dust, along with a lot of the other internal building materials. And that's basically what happened.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And we're going to switch to Ann in Austin. Aloha, Ann. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. So here's my issue. You say really horrible things about anyone that's actually studied the evidence. I don't understand this. The book, Where Did the Towers Go, is all about evidence. That's all it's about. It's not about theory. It's about evidence. And if people won't look at the evidence, they will stay in this circle of getting nowhere. It's 17 years. We've gotten nowhere. What has AE 9/11 truth done for us? It's kept us in the same place, getting nowhere.
Well, we're not in the same place. I mean, the American people more and more are convinced that the U.S. government lied about 9/11, and that's the important point. We don't need to waste time arguing over tiny, minute details. We all agree the government lied to us, and that's something the American people need to confront and deal with.
No, I agree with you on that. We all agree the government lied to us. We know this. I think we've known this for a really long time. We knew this before 9/11 that they lied to us all the time. That's just the way that is, and we know.
Okay.
And I think most people know this. I think they've known it since Kennedy. The majority of people since the 70s have known that that was a complete and utter sham. Anyway, no, the thing is, it's not minutiae. It's not minute details. It's evidence that will show people exactly what happened. When we have other people saying, oh, it was bombs in the building, but yet there's absolutely no evidence of heat.
Of course there's evidence of heat. There's a huge amount of evidence of heat. There's the molten steel pouring out of the corners of the building. That's on video. There are beams that clearly show evidence of cutter charges.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it's true. I've got the photos on my website. All right, well, just to play along, what is your theory of what happened to the towers?
Now, don't be condescending. I don't have a theory. I have evidence.
Okay, what is your evidence point to?
It points to what you would call LENR, or cold nukes, cold fusion.
Okay. Cold fusion, for one thing, will not detonate. Okay, it is a power generation system that is still in its very early development, and you are a perfect example of the kind of kookifiers I talked about at the very opening of the show. So we're going to let you go, and thank you very much. Told you they were going to call on in. So let's get on back here. And yeah, of course there's evidence of huge amounts of heat. I mean, the core of that debris pile was still molten at thousands and thousands of degrees. At the bottom of the elevator shafts was all this raw iron that had melted then recooled and solidified, which, by the way, is a byproduct of the use of thermite. Now, thermite is a mixture of aluminum oxide and iron. And what happened, iron oxide and powdered aluminum. I had them backward there. And when it is ignited, it burns very, very hot, something like one quarter of the temperature of nuclear fission. And the byproducts are white smoke, of which a great deal was seen coming out of the World Trade Towers, and molten iron, a great deal of which was found at the bottom of all the wreckage here. And then there are other issues, like at least seven of the accused 9/11 hijackers were still alive after 9/11. One of them turned out to be a pilot for the Saudi National Airline who successfully sued for defamation. Now, remember when the news was saying that all these people on the ground were getting these cell phone calls from these airplanes in the air saying, oh, they're Arab hijackers, they've got box cutters. And Project Achilles and a lot of other people, and I did this myself, verified when you are in an airliner at altitude, cell phones will not work. It's jumping too fast from cell tower to cell tower to cell tower. And the cell phone handsets don't really have that range. They're not designed to reach to the ground from 35,000 feet. It was all being manufactured. All right, let's take another phone call from Al in Canada. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Al, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Mike. Are you there?
Okay, you're on the air.
Okay, thanks. I walked in just kind of as that lady was starting that you just talked to. It's people like that you'll never get through to, Mike, and there are a lot of them. They are just too...
It's an organized operation to make anybody who questions the official 9/11 story look silly. When she started her conversation by saying, you dismiss anybody with an alternative point of view, I knew we were going to get something kooky.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like, here's the thing. These people, Mike, they're stupid. I'm sorry, lady, whoever you are, but you know what? You are a stupid, stupid, stupid person if you don't understand the simple fact that all of that steel that was pushing up against gravity, holding that building up, just didn't break, collapse, disintegrate, and or disappear. If anything, that building should have maybe went lopsided a little bit, or maybe it collapsed a few stories until all that inertia had worked its way through the whole building. It never should have happened like that. That was a planned demolition, plain and simple. No other building, and no other building ever will come down the way that did because of fires caused by what? Furniture? It's ridiculous. It's anybody that can't understand those simple facts are stupid.
Al, let's not get personal here, and I don't think Ann is stupid. I think she is a propaganda operative, which is not the same thing. You're right. I mean, the physics are there regarding the fall, the temperature. We know that most of the jet fuel actually exploded outside the World Trade Towers. We have recordings of the firefighters inside there saying the fires were very small and already going out, and they reported hearing explosions. Anyway, listen, Al, stay on the line.
Thank you, Mike. Okay.
We got to do a commercial break. I'm going to come right back to you.
Thanks.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. We're talking with Al in Canada. The topic is 9/11. And Al, you said you had one more thing you wanted to share with us. Al, are you there? Okay, we lost Al. All right. We're going to switch over. Dustin called back in. Apparently, he wants to respond to Ann. And, Dustin, no personal insults, okay?
No, Mike, I'm not going to. But, Mike, I live in New Jersey. I'm right next to New York. And I was home that day at 9/11. No cold. Mike, no plane, no jet fighter left Lakehurst over where I am for a long time. And, Mike, not only that, but do you realize... No, that white van that was on the George Washington Park / Expressway, I saw
yes.
that. That white van, which was the Israeli moving company, was blocked off on both ends, and the police moved in on that white van. That's a fact, because I saw it. It was on Fox News. And I used to watch
yes.
Fox News at the time, so that was a fact. And also with the... Fox News doing the investigation on the Israeli spy ring that got busted and that got pulled off the air. So there's a lot more involved than going, you know, than what we know. You know?
Yeah. In a lot of ways, whatever the operation was supposed to be, they did make a lot of mistakes. For example, whoever was supposed to bring down Building 7 delayed for some reason, possibly because there were people still getting out of the building. And that's what set up that embarrassment with the BBC and CNN and Fox all announcing that Building 7 had been collapsed 26 minutes before it actually happened. Then you have the George Washington Bridge. That story has definitely been sent into the memory hole. Because apparently that van, there were more than one van at that time, that van was loaded with explosives. And apparently they were planning on taking out the George Washington Bridge as well. As far as Building 7, getting back to that, it was very obvious that that was where Flight 93 was supposed to end up. In fact, if you watch the Naudet brothers documentary on 9/11, which is it's a great documentary, it was originally supposed to be about the New York Fire Department and how somebody gets into the fire department and trains to be a firefighter, and they just got caught up in the events of 9/11, and it is a wonderful documentary. But in that documentary, you can hear them. They are told a third airplane is on its way to New York, and that obviously had to be Flight 93 since the only other aircraft was down there at the Pentagon. And it looks like, for some reason, it was shot out of the sky. And I know over at Shanksville, they've made a big memorial over the place where they say the plane came down. But that wreckage came down over 8 miles of countryside, and that doesn't happen from a straight crash into the ground. That happens when the airplane comes apart in midair. And my theory here is that the flight crew... Yeah, I'm going to hold you over. Okay. We'll be back after station identification.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.